2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I intentionally borrow the title of the song we opened our service with tonight. Our title is Goodbye Yesterday. God bless you. Please be seated. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I live in constant amazement at the power of God to change any life, no matter where a person comes from, what they've done, or what they've suffered in their life. And we as the church have the most important and influential mission on the face of the earth. Following our texts are some application of what we do in this new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is the work of the church, to bring people back to God. Verse 19, to wit or to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We love people. We love all people. Sometimes we like some people more than we like other people. Some people are more likable. But we're not ignorant of the evil nature of sin and the effects that sin has on the life of a lost person. When a person is lost in sin, very often they are overcome by anger, bitterness, hatred, physical addictions, psychological addictions, spiritual bondage, selfish lusts, the abuse of other people, the abuse of them, their own lives, and that leave a wake of shattered lives and shattered trust, wounded spirits. Sin produces immorality that has spawned the sewage that permeates media in every form in our culture. The Bible gives a list of the lust of the flesh that I'll not take the time to read tonight. But it's interesting that in our culture, even though many people say there's no absolute right and wrong, there's a collective consciousness in our culture that we need to deal with these hurting people, these diseased people. Sin has become a disease, right? We just say that they're really not sinners. They're just sick with some type of sickness. But we realize as a culture that these behaviors, that the depravity of man is dangerous, it's destructive to our society, and it costs lots of money to our culture. Addiction imposes a substantial burden on the U.S. economy. Tobacco costs our nation about almost $900 billion. The opioid crisis in 2023, $2.7 trillion, accounting for the full social impact, the value of lost life and the decreased quality of life. Alcohol misuse, they say, abuse, $249 billion, and that's lost workplace productivity, health care expenses, the criminal justice cost, and the illicit drug use, $193 billion, and on it goes if you try to quantify the cost of sin. But there's a higher toll in fractured families, in ruined lives, in shattered dreams, the effect of sin on the life of people. And there's a lot of well-meaning people that have created programs to try to rehabilitate fallen men and women. And I appreciate the efforts to try to fix what has been broken by sin. If you're an alcoholic, you might be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not here to speak against them, because four of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous acknowledges God, that you can't do this on your own. But there's something that they say in their 12-step program that I disagree with. They say that if you're once an alcoholic, you will always be an alcoholic. They want you to know that you're always going to live on the run. You're running away from something that you cannot control. And if you ever cross the line, you're going to go back into compulsive alcoholism, and you'll never be able to drink in moderation again. I'm glad we are what we would call teetotalers. We abstain from the very appearance of evil and the alcohol and drugs that permeate our society. So I just want to say, while AA and other organizations try to help people the best they can, they're just trying to modify behavior. They're trying to get you to change your actions. But beneath the surface is a nature that is fallen, that is sinful. I like what Paul said in Romans 7. He said, I've discovered a law that is working in me, that even though I love the law of God and I want to do what is right, he said, there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to sin that is still in me. He said, I'm a miserable person, and who can free me from this life that is dominated by sin? And your own willpower and your own strength, no matter how much willpower you have or how disciplined you are, you cannot break the power of sin. And I really feel sorry for people who attend churches and hear sermons where people tell them to make a decision for Christ. Now, I'm not against you making a decision for Christ. And there's a lot of Pentecostals that need to make more decisions to go along with their experience. But if you just make a decision, it's back to the will, and the will is not strong enough to live for God. If you just accept Christ, that's a good step in the right direction. But you need a relationship that produces power, that changes you from what you used to be to what you can be. Amen. We believe in the power of repentance, of changing your mind, your will, your life direction away from sin and toward God. But that is only your first step toward God. It is turning away from sin and having faith toward God. But I'm glad that Bible salvation doesn't end in what we do. It ends in what God does. Amen? Jesus said in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It takes more than changing your mind or behavior modification. It takes more than a New Year's resolution. We need the mighty power of God that lets us be born again, born from above, that changes us from the inside out. Now, I know every Pentecostal is supposed to know this, but we're born again when we obey Acts 2:38. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said unto them, repent. If you know it, you should quote it with me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, that may not prove you've memorized it, but it does prove you can read. Amen. I'm so glad that my sinful, alcohol-drinking, immoral grandfather on my mother's side of the family went to a tent revival. Some of you have heard his story. And God changed him when he repented of his sins. He was baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't joining a church. It was joining Christ. He was buried with Christ by baptism. He rose to walk in the newness of life. He was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and his life was changed. Amen. The Bible said if we do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. It is one thing to love Jesus, to pray, to repent, to try to live for God. But I'm just here to tell you tonight that the power of God will revolutionize you. It will change you. The Holy Spirit seals you, makes you a child of God, brings you into the kingdom of God. Amen. That's my text tonight. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to preach through this verse for just a little while. He first said, if any man be in Christ. That lets me know that no one is exempt from this message of salvation. No one is too good that you don't need it. And no one is so bad that it can't save you. Amen. We are here today, and some of us were raised in the church, but we were just as lost without the power of the gospel as the latest person that was saved or baptized this past Sunday. So I just want you to know that when you look at a person that is depraved, that is lost, that is addicted, that is all messed up, this any man, any person applies to them. Tonight there will be people that get high and drunk and are immoral and lose their way. But if they will repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name, if any person will come to Jesus Christ, he will not cast them out. He will not reject them. I'm glad that this gospel is for anybody who will receive it. No one is excluded. Amen. No matter what you may be struggling with, this power, this gospel can change you. Amen. If any man be in Christ, that's the next phrase, in Christ. It doesn't say in a church. I'm glad you're in the church, but joining a church will not save you. And there are a lot of people that come to this church that are not in Christ. And there's some people who used to be in Christ and Christ was in them, but now they're living without his guidance and leadership in their life. Amen. But simply what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is that you've got to get in Christ, and you could say it another way, that Christ has to get in you. You're joined with him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sort of like getting married. You become one flesh. And when you get in Christ, his Spirit is inside of you, and it does change you. Amen. I'm glad for people who study Christ. But there are a lot of theologians who are just as lost as the addict. They know about the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible. And I don't want to be that person that is in a church that is not in Christ. Amen. If any man be in Christ, amen. I have Acts 2:38 again in my notes, but we'll pass by that. You've heard it pretty good. Apostle Paul wrote to Titus and said, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is according to his mercy that he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost changed me. Amen. So here are the verses again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Now, I know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That holy men of God wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, in the Old and New Testaments of your Bible. But I don't know if Paul, you know, whether he was dictating this letter or writing at this moment, if maybe he paused for a moment to try to describe what it was like to be in Christ. There might have been an aha moment where the Holy Ghost quickened him, and he uses this phrase that he is a new creation. A new creation. Now, this is significant because new creation denotes the sovereignty of God. You may not realize this, but when you spoke in tongues for the very first time, God made you a new creation. Amen. He made you a new species, something that has never existed in the history of the world, because only God can create. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, humans can rearrange what God created, but only God can create. We have a wonderful discipleship program here, and it will help you grow in God. But we know that if we're working with an unregenerated, unsaved person that has not been born again, that you cannot disciple someone who has not been changed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, it's like taking a new patch and putting it, a new patch and putting it on an old garment. You know, it just doesn't work. Back in the day, you take that new patch and you put it on an old pair of jeans or sheepskin or whatever it was, and you take it down to the river and wash it, and you hang it out to dry, and it starts to shrink, and it pulls away on the patch, and it makes the rip worse. That's what Jesus said it is like to just try to reform a person and enforce on them the New Testament or the law of God. You've got to be changed from the inside out. And I'm so glad that when Jesus Christ filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, he made me a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul read about this in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said, I have died to my old life and I'm living a new life. But I'm not living a new life by my own means or by my own ability, but Jesus Christ is living on the inside of me. Amen? You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. It is not possible any other way, but it is possible when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, same verse, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. The old life is gone. Sort of like saying goodbye to 2025 that we'll all do at 11:59 tonight. My cousin is over in Hong Kong and they've already had their new year, but we're going to have ours in a little bit later tonight. But what things are passed away? When you become a new creation in Jesus Christ, you can say goodbye yesterday, because your old sinful record has been expunged, erased. The Bible says it several ways, that he's buried our sins in the depths of the sea. He says as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us, that he's put our sins behind his back. Amen. That means that no matter what you did yesterday, if you've turned from your sins, if you've repented of them, there is no record against you that yesterday is gone. So you can wave goodbye to the sins you committed this afternoon or last night or the day before, because if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. So tonight, somebody needs to wave and say goodbye yesterday. My sins are remitted. They're forgiven. They are gone. They will never be remembered against me. God has no record of my sin. Amen. Praise God. What is gone? What is passed away? Your record of sin is gone. But there's something more. Remember, Paul said that I try to do the right thing, but every time I do, there's another power that is working in me that's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. I try to do the right thing, but I keep finding myself messing up and doing the wrong thing again. Now, some saved people do this because they quit walking in the Spirit and they start walking in the flesh. But that's not really my point tonight. There's something that happens when you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Not only is the old record erased, but the old power is broken. That power that brought you into captivity to the law of sin and death can no longer hold you back. That's what I said a while ago about the well intentions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I do not define a Christian as someone who sins every day. I know that I am a sinner. I was a sinner saved by grace, but I am no longer a sinner. I am a child of God. I know that it is possible for me to sin, but you are not identified as a sinner. You are identified as saved, as sanctified, as washed, as regenerated, as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Your identity is in Christ, and the old power that held you cannot hold you anymore. The old addiction power is broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. All things are passed away. No longer helpless, but you have the helper. You have the power of God that will help you overcome everything in the world. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We bruise Satan under our feet. We have more power. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, not just to be a witness, but power over sin. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, and all things are passed away. That's why I wanted to rivet this idea to your mind with this song, that tonight you need to say goodbye yesterday, that the old is dead and buried, amen, and it cannot track me down, it cannot follow me. And then Paul says, behold, and just throws this one word out there in the middle of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold! It means look. One writer said it means in a moment. I know that's true. I've watched people here and in our old sanctuary and all around the world, really, not everywhere in the world, but a lot of places in the world, I've watched them come sinful, messed up, broken. But you know, the Bible is so clear and the gospel is so powerful. Amen. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And when someone repents of their sin and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and when they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, instantaneously they are justified. They are made just as if they had never sinned. They're as sinless as Jesus Christ was in his sinless life because he gives them his righteousness. He covers them with his righteousness. And so behold, in a moment of time, everything changes. And then Paul says, all things are become new. Now, there's a reality of our daily lives that everything doesn't feel new or seem new, but potentially and practically, I believe the Bible, that all things are become new in Jesus Christ. Well, what things become new? Well, Jesus in his blood gave us a new covenant, a new relationship. We're born again and brought into a new and living way by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? When you receive the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, you will speak with new tongues. And when Jesus Christ puts his spirit in you, you receive a new nature that the Bible calls the new man that is renewed. And one of these days, we're going to a new Jerusalem. He's going to make new heavens and a new earth. We're going to sing a new song. He's going to give us a new name, and we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. So when the Bible says, behold, I make all things new and all things are become new, we're living in a new world with a new hope, with a new destiny, amen? And that's why we can say goodbye yesterday. I'm living in a new world, amen? Revelation 21 and 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. This is the heart of the gospel, that I can preach tonight and teach a little while, that the power of the gospel can change anyone, anywhere, and make them a new creation by the power of God. As I said earlier, it's not just God patching you up, and it's not behavior modification. It's not just you trying harder and trying to be better in 2026. Jesus doesn't just remodel you. He makes you a new creation. Amen. In our culture, you know, people are always trying to fix themselves up. You can have a lot of surgeries and procedures, and you can get facelifts and rhinoplasty and liposuction, and you can have all the tucks and lifts and Botox injections and dermal fillers and chemical peels and laser treatments. You can change your hair color. You can buy hair. You can plant hair. You can try to cover all your flaws with layers of makeup. But here's what I know about people. Wherever you go, there you are. If you're just trying to patch up the outside, fix up the outside, if you're just trying to modify your behavior, it will last a little while and then it will fade away. But I'm so glad tonight that with confidence I can say that if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. You are not the same old you that you were yesterday. Amen. So you need to square your shoulders and march into the new year. And you need to look back in the rearview mirror and say goodbye. Yesterday, forever gone and buried in the annals of history. Amen. Changed from the inside out. It's like a heart transplant. Ezekiel, the Lord said, I'm going to take out their stony heart. I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. Jeremiah, the Lord said, I'm going to put my law in their hearts. I'm going to write it on their inward parts. Well, I know that the law was written in tables of stone, and men and women were obligated to follow it by willpower alone. And the law failed, not because it was imperfect, but because we are. We cannot live up to the moral standards of God. But when he writes his law in your heart, when he makes you a new creation, now there's something on the inside that is working on the outside that is changing you and transforming you. Verse 17 again, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm inviting the worship team to come. Give us hope. There's a lot that's new. Now we see Jesus Christ in a different light. Amen. We have a new focus of concern. The Bible says that the people of the world, Jesus calls them the Gentiles. He's meaning ungodly people. They live to make money, to have something to eat and wear and a place to live and something to drive. And they just live for that. They're preoccupied with that. But we have a new focus of concern. While we have all of those same practical needs as everybody else in this world, we take no thought of that. We don't live with anxious concern about the stuff you need to live on because we've got something more important to live for. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we look at the things that are not seen. So we now see life through a different lens. We're new creation in Christ. And we have a new focus of concern. We look for something higher and better. You know why people get so messed up and tempted and they fall short of the glory of God is they start looking at this world, the love of the world, right? They fall in love with the world and all the things that God delivered them from, they go back and love again. They are like the Bible said, like a dog that returns to his vomit. Or a pig that returns to wallowing in the mud. That's what happens to people that go back on Jesus Christ. But that's not us. We're new creations in Jesus Christ. So if any person, if any man, be in Christ, they are a new creation creature, the King James says. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. So that's why, as we wrap up this year, we can really, not just in a New Year's resolution or not with some mental plan, but because of what Jesus has done for us, we can really say goodbye to yesterday. So if fear has tormented you, if you've been dealt a blow of unspeakable hurt in your life, if you've been the victim of abuse, you don't have to live in victimhood any longer. If you've been bound in a prison of addiction, if you battle psychological warfare, tormented, terrorized by the trauma of your life, if grief, got a lot of people that have experienced grief in their lives. All of us will at one time or another. But it is one thing to go through the valley of the shadow of death. It is another thing to park there and be overcome by grief. Through Isaiah, the Lord gave a prophecy of Jesus that Jesus quoted in his inaugural message in Luke 4. He said, I've been anointed to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all that mourn. For those that mourn, I've come to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they could be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. In other words, the Lord said, I'm going to bring them what the Old Testament called a year of jubilee. I'm going to bring them a time of setting them free, and all their debt is forgiven. All their land is restored. Everything that's been lost is going to be given back to them. And they can look back on the previous 49 years back under the law. And they can say goodbye yesterday. But for us, we can say that yesterday is gone and buried forever. Because we are in Christ and we are new creations. If you're able, would you stand right now? We're saying goodbye to yesterday's failures. And yesterday's regrets and yesterday's hurts. We're saying goodbye to yesterday's sins. And we're going to walk away from them. And we're going to walk in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. We're going to gather at the altar for just a little while. But before we do, I want us to pray right where we are. And if there's something that you need to bury right now, and what I mean by that is a sin you need to repent of, if there's someone you need to forgive, Is there something you need to let go of? If there's something that you need to say goodbye to, then we're going to do that right now where we stand. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you for the power of your word, for the truth of your word. I stand in the reality of your promises that are not out of reach, but we can know them, we can embrace them, we can live them. So today, Lord, we say goodbye to sin. I ask you, Lord, that you would forgive the sins of people as they repent right now. I pray, God, for people that have been traumatized by things of the past, that tonight, Lord, not tomorrow, not next week, not by a good process, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray that you would deliver someone right now that lives with torment and fear and grief and worry and trauma. I pray for someone that was abused and they feel like a victim, that you would let them be delivered tonight by the power of God. I've come, oh Lord God, not just to teach a lesson or preach a sermon or have a service, but we have come, oh Lord, to see your great power demonstrated in this house tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would let the glory of God come and the power of God come, and you would honor your word with the move of your spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody would just say amen.